Today, I'm going to tell you about the shortest battle I think I've ever heard of. It's a story about mistaken identity, military ineptitude, and one man's ability to just go with it. Hang out, and I'm going to tell you about Powell's Massacre. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is a bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Thank you all for coming to listen to me today. Today's episode is a suggestion from Jake Dowd, and Jake was the one who suggested Mechanics Hill and the Carthage Buggy Factory. So thank you again, Jake, for writing in. Now, this is usually where I stick in all my social media stuff, but I think I'm going to put it at the end this time because I'm ready to get into Powell's Massacre. So let's go ahead and get into the content. I do want to say I did write a script for this show just to speed things up. So I am going to be looking down at my laptop. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm indoors again. It's been a while since I've been inside, but I was relegated to coming here because conditions outside aren't really good today for recording. So I apologize for not looking at the camera too much, but I think it'll still be a good episode. So before we get into the actual story, I need to go over some key characters. First, we got General Charles Cornwallis. And if you're from the East Coast, you know who Cornwallis is. Or if you know any colonial history, you should know who Cornwallis is. But if for some reason you don't know who Cornwallis is, he led the fight against the rebellious colonials during the American Revolution. Next, we have General Nathaniel Greene. And he's the namesake of Greensboro. And he was also the defender of the colonies, but mostly in the South. Then there's Colonel Henry Lee, also known as Harry Lighthorse Lee. He was a trusted officer to George Washington, and he was the father of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, and he just happens to be in the South during this story. Now back to the British side, we got Lieutenant Colonel Banastre Tarleton, and I'll probably just call him Tarleton. He was portrayed in the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Tarleton was played by Jason Isaacs, who also played Malfoy's daddy on Harry Potter. And last, you have Colonel John Powell. He's actually Colonel Dr. John Powell. It might have sounded like I said Powell. It's Powell, just like Gomer Powell. And a lot of you know Gomer Powell. Anyway, Colonel Powell was a colonist. He was, you know, American, but he was a loyalist. He was loyal to the throne. So even though he lived in Chatham County, North Carolina, He would be helping Tarleton out in this story. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the story. And it really starts in South Carolina, just north of modern-day Spartanburg, following the Battle of Cowpens on January 17, 1781. In a cow pasture down there, Cornwallis got his ass kicked by the new general on scene, Nathaniel Greene. The two forces met. Greene sent about 1,000 men under General Daniel Morgan, and Tarleton brought about 1,500 men. After the battle, Greene had lost less than 100 men, and over 600 British lay dead in the field. Some sources say 800. Anyway, Morgan took 600 British prisoners and headed north toward Ruffton, North Carolina. Cornwallis, he wanted to get his men back, and so he followed. Well, this chase went down in history as the Race for the Dan, in reference to the Dan River that runs in Virginia along the Virginia-North Carolina line. Now, Cornwallis's men, they never did catch Greene's men during the race. Nathaniel Greene's men crossed the Dan River first at South Boston and Turberville, Virginia. Colonel Lighthorse Lee brought up the rear using the last of the boats. So when the British showed up at the Dan River, they were stuck on the south side. At this point, Cornwallis decides to head toward Hillsborough, North Carolina to lick his wounds. And that brings us to Colonel Powell. Like I said, he was a loyalist. He was fighting for the British, and he was living in Chatham County. And he caught the British attention and got pretty famous during the War of Regulation, which I've actually talked about on this show during the episode on the House and the Horseshoe. So you can look up the War of Regulation, Regulator War, Orange County, North Carolina. You can even look up the Battle of, You can look up the Battle of Lindley Mill, although Powell himself wasn't at that battle. But anyway, Cornwallis, he trusted Colonel Powell. He, you know, saw what he could do. He was a trusted ally. And so Cornwallis puts the word out there that he needs some manpower. He's lost a lot of guys, taken prisoner, and he needs some soldiers. And so Colonel Powell, he answers the call, and he brings up 400 men. And all these guys, they were volunteers. But Tarleton, he meets up with Powell, and he's going to give him a safe escort to Hillsborough to meet up with Cornwallis. Now, what about Nathaniel Greene? You know, what's he been doing this whole time? Well, he's been hanging out in Virginia and, you know, gathering reinforcements and resupplying and getting ready for another fight. Well, on February 17th, Nathaniel Greene tells Light Horse Lee, go ahead and cross the Dan River. I want you to head toward Hillsborough and see what them old Brits are up to. And so the next day, Light Horse Lee crosses the Dan River and he starts heading toward Hillsborough. And his plan is to, you know, kind of keep a distance. He just wants to see what they're doing. By the way, I'm from Hillsborough. I'm from the Hillsborough area. And in the car, you can leave Hillsborough and cross the Virginia line in a little bit less than an hour, maybe right at an hour if you get behind a tractor or two. It's not too awful far from where Nathaniel Greene was hanging out to Hillsborough. I imagine a couple days march, probably 2 or 3 days. Well, when Harry Light Horse Lee shows up, he sets up camp somewhere between Hillsborough and the Hall River. Now, the Hall River is probably about 15 miles to the west. So he sets up camp somewhere in that area. And it wasn't long before he heard that Tarleton and his men were camped nearby. And not only were they camped nearby, but they were heading his way. You see, Tarleton was going to meet up with Colonel Powell. They were supposed to get together that day, join their forces, and go looking for a fight. However, that fight never came, not that day. It turns out that Colonel Powell, he had stood Tarleton up. Colonel Powell had some family in the area. And so even though he had marching orders, he decided to stop, visit with some family and friends. And so Tarleton got pretty tired of waiting for him, and the attack was called off. But then on February 24th, Lee captures two British officers, and he starts grilling them for information. And that's when he finds out that Tarleton is again camped just a few miles away. Now, before I continue, there's something you need to know. Light Horse Lee and his men, they wore green jackets and green hats or green helmets. But Tarleton's men also wore green jackets and green hats. And so a lot of you can probably see where this is going. So on the evening of February 24th, the same day that Lee found out that Tarleton was nearby, he wanted to go see what old Tarleton was up to. It was getting near dark, so visibility was getting pretty low anyway. So Lee starts heading that way. Now Lee, he was hoping to run into Tarleton, you know, get to jump on him, maybe even a full-blown ambush. However, to Lee's surprise, he runs into Colonel Powell's men. Turns out Tarleton had been ordered to rejoin the main army, so he's heading back to Hillsborough, and Powell, he's out there by himself. And so when Lee rides up to Powell's men, Powell just assumes these guys in these green jackets belong to Tarleton. And Lee catches on pretty quick that these guys don't realize he's the enemy. So he starts chatting them up, and it wasn't long before he figured out where Colonel Powell was actually hanging out. And so he gets word back to his guys to start heading that way. Light Horse Lee, he rides right into Powell's camp, and he's saluting people and waving like he knows everybody. And at one point, he even walks up and starts shaking hands with Colonel Powell himself. And the whole time, nobody in the camp, or especially not Colonel Powell, even wondered who these guys were. And so about the time he's shaking hands with Powell, there's gunfire heard off in the distance. And this was the beginning of the battle that would go down in history as Powell's Massacre. You see, those gunshots that they had heard, they actually came from the rear of Lee's group. The guy that was back there, he was kind of unfamiliar with the forces fighting down here in the South. And since he was kind of new to the area, he really didn't know whose uniforms was who. His name was Captain Eggleston. Captain Eggleston, by the way. So this guy, Eggleston, he sees some of Powell's men riding, and he asks them, whose side you on? Well, the man answered proudly with two words, King George. Well, Eggleston replied to the man's answer by pulling out his saber and striking him right across the head. Well, after this, Eggleston's men, they saw what happened. Well, they pull out their guns, and they open fire on these two guys. And I'm sure there were other guys around them, but all hell breaks loose. Well, as soon as Eggleston's men started firing at these loyalists, the Patriot Cavalry under Light Horse Lee, well, they joined the fight. They come riding in, swinging their swords. And finally, after about 10 minutes of this, Powell's men got sense enough to run like hell, but not before a bunch of them were laying dead or dying on the ground. The estimate was about 100 of Powell's men had died in about 10 minutes. And during that 10 minutes of getting their ass kicked, Powell's men, they didn't stand their ground because they were brave. It all goes back to that mistaken identity. You see, not only did Powell himself not know that Lee was the enemy, well, his men, they assumed also that these were Tarleton's men. And so while these guys in green jackets are shooting at him, instead of running or really even fighting back, they're standing there screaming, we're with King George, we're with King George. And screaming, we're with King George, they were assuming it was going to get these green jacket guys to stop shooting, not knowing that it was just firing them up that much more. Colonel Powell himself, he actually survived the battle. He was shot pretty bad. He was shot all to hell, but after he was shot, he climbed into a pond and hid out until somebody rescued him. Now said that Colonel Powell was also a doctor. After he was rescued, he eventually surrendered, turned himself in, and he was taken prisoner, but he spent the rest of the war treating wounded Patriot soldiers. So nothing really happened to him because he helped treat the Patriot soldiers for their war wounds. He was pardoned and released after the war and went back home to Chatham County. Now, after Powell's massacre, Lee and his men, they took off after Tarleton, hoping to catch him, but they never did catch him before he rejoined the main army. By March of that year, Nathaniel Greene's men had finally made it back south, and then on the 15th, the Battle of Guilford Courthouse broke off. Now, I plan on covering the Battle of Guilford Courthouse in a future episode. It's a pretty important battle, probably the biggest battle around here. And that's the story of Powell's massacre. I do want to note that the only reason they call it a massacre in the first place is because of the British. The British were afraid of what would happen if news got out that they were beat by a bunch of colonial settlers. And so they spread the rumor that Lee and his men were butchering the Loyalists, while they were on their knees begging for their life and surrendering. You know, they spread the word that Lee just kind of went along and, I mean, they keep saying butchered. He went along and butchered them. To be honest with you, if they were screaming, we're with King George and not fighting back, and Lee and his men were just shooting into him, you know, I'm not saying Light Horse Lee did anything wrong. War is ugly. But if you're not getting shot back at, maybe you could have held your fire. I'm just saying. Anyway, later in life, Lee, he wrote a book, and I made a note of the name, but I didn't write it down here, but Lee, Light Horse Lee, he wrote his memoirs, and he commented in his memoirs that if he wanted to massacre these guys, he wouldn't have let them get away. He said he would have chased them down and put an end to them. Anyway, that's the Battle of Powell's Massacre, also called the Battle of Hall River. I meant to add that. If you don't want to call it a massacre, it's called the Battle of Hall River. And I bet this episode was only slightly longer than the actual battle itself. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you do like the show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And check out the NC Everything Podcast Facebook group for even more NC Everything. Also, if you have a suggestion for an episode, you can reach out and tell me all about it by emailing the show at thencEverythingPodcast.com. And if you want to put a face with the voice, you can watch on YouTube as opposed to listening on a podcast player by searching the show on YouTube or using the links below. And normally I go straight to the links below, but there'll be a link for everything in the description. Facebook, YouTube, and the contact button. Also, I have my sources down there. Check out the links. It really does have everything. Lastly, if you want to try something new, look down below at the links for Tasting NC, a show that I do with my wife where we taste everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Our last episode was all about Mount Olive pickles. And that's all for today. You guys be good, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.